There was an old woman that had a simple, crude pretzel stand that she ran on the corner of a street in a large city. She charged 50 cents for her homemade pretzels. There was a lawyer who worked in an office building very close to the stand, and every day around lunch, he would go through the same routine. He would come out of his office building, and as he walked by the pretzel stand, he would take 50 cents out of his pocket, and he would drop it in the jar, and he would never take a pretzel. He never spoke to the old lady. She never spoke to him. They just made eye contact, and he smiled kindly and went on about his way. This had been going on every business day for years. And one day the man went through his routine. He came out of the office building. He dropped 50 cents in the jar. He didn't take a pretzel, turned to walk away. And for the first time ever, the lady spoke to him. He was surprised. And he turned around thinking maybe that he was going to get the thanks, the gratitude that he most certainly deserved. But instead, the lady pointed at her little homemade sign and she said, "You must not have noticed the pretzels have gone up to a dollar." Isn't that just like us? God is so good to us. We are here because of God's goodness. God created us and gave us a chance to live because of his love and goodness. God sustains us. We live on his land. We breathe his air. We eat his food. We drink his water. He gave his son so that we could live in even a better world later. God is so good to us. Other people are good to us. I mean, the moment you were born, you already owed someone for 9 months of room and board. You come into the world indebted to other people. And if others did not take care of us when we are babies, we would never live to adulthood. God is so good to us. Others are so good to us. And yet, when it comes time to be thankful, we tend to just stand with our hands out and our mouth closed. Why is that? Well, the short answer would be our sinful nature. But you know preachers aren't going to give you the short answer, don't you? So let me give you a few reasons that it's so hard for us to be thankful. First, I think, is just perception. We don't perceive, we don't understand how fortunate and how blessed we are. Charles Barkley, the famous, successful basketball player, told recently about his mother fussing at him years ago when his mother realized that he had voted for George Bush for president. His mother said, "Charles, he's the rich people's president." And Charles Barkley said, "Mom, we are the rich people." And so are we. Just middle class, average, ordinary Americans. When you compare us to the history of the world or to the current situation around the world, we're so rich. Listen to this from the Red Cross website. "If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, then you are richer than the million people who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, then you're richer than 500 million people in this world today. If you can attend any meeting you want, political, religious, or social, then you are richer than 3 billion people on this planet right now. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, then you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, a little in your wallet, and some spare change in a dish someplace, then you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. We are so rich, as Charles Barkley said, we are the rich people, but we're unaware because we take things for granted. Here's the second reason we don't give thanks like we should. It's because of pride. I was riding in Nashville a few weeks ago and got behind a car and noticed a bumper sticker. The bumper sticker said, "I couldn't have done it without me." And isn't that how we feel? We feel a little like that cartoon character Bart Simpson when he was asked to say thanks for the food, to pray over it before they ate. And he said, "Lord, we made money to buy this food, and we shop for this food, and we cook this food. So thanks for nothing." And we wouldn't say it that brazenly, but isn't that how most of us feel? Yeah, we got some good things, and we deserve them, and we earned them. So we're not thankful. And then a third reason that we're not thankful, at least we tend not to be, is just people. We live in an ungrateful culture. There's never been a culture in the history of the world, in my opinion, that has more and appreciates it less than ours. And we have become so focused on the rights that we have that we have begun to feel like we are entitled just for all good things to be handed to us without us working or trying to earn them. Attitudes are contagious, and so it's so easy for us to catch this attitude of ingratitude. Well, that's the problem, at least some of it. But what's the solution? Last week we looked at the Philippian prescription for spiritual, mental, and emotional health, something that Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at another of Paul's letters this morning, Thessalonians, and let's see what Paul prescribes through inspiration there. I want to call this a Thessalonian Thanksgiving. How you can have the best week of Thanksgiving that you have ever had in your life. Paul tells us how in three little verses here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Beginning at 16, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let me say it in three simple ways this morning. First, make a choice to rejoice. Make a choice to rejoice. Verse 16, rejoice always. Now that verse wins the prize for being the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament. Now, you thought the shortest verse in the Bible was Jesus wept, didn't you? In the English translations of the Bible, Jesus wept is shorter, but in the original Greek language, in the original Greek New Testament, this is the shortest verse in the Bible, rejoice always. Now, see, wasn't that worth coming for right there? I mean, when you go to a party, you just slip up to a person at the punch bowl and say, "Do you know the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament?" They'll be amazed. And if they let you stay at that party, you'll be the life of the party. But I think there's a lesson there that it's instructive. Jesus wept, but the prize is rejoice always. We weep sometimes as Christians. We have sadness, but you know what? Joy wins. Paul would say, make a choice to rejoice. You know, I used to think that people are grateful because they're happy. And as time has gone on, I've come to realize that I didn't have it quite right. The truth is, people are happy because they are grateful. Gratitude and joy are linked together over and over in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 4, the passage we looked at last week, Paul says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. And a couple of verses later, in verse 6, he throws in thanksgiving there, and he says, by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Joy and thanksgiving linked together. They're linked in this passage as well, and many others. Gratitude leads to a life of joy. Now, what is joy? What's Christian joy? You know, it's different than happiness. I love what Leon Morris says about joy in his commentary on this passage. He says, joy is the genuine Christian zest for life that just bubbles through us. Isn't that good? The genuine Christian zest for life that bubbles up through us. It's from the inside, and we can always have it no matter what's going on in our lives. An optometrist wrote in Reader's Digest about doing an eye exam on this little girl who had beautiful, striking blue eyes. During the examination, he just said to her, "Where did you get those eyes?" And she said, "They came with my head." And when we are born again as believers in Christ, we get a new set of eyes. We look at the world differently than those who are unsaved. We set out rejoicing as we experience and explore our Father's world. We're glad to live out the implications of our faith. We know that Christianity is not bad medicine that we've got to swallow for 70 years so that we can one day get to happiness in heaven. The abundant life that Jesus promises starts now. It starts when we are converted to Him and we begin to live in Him. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6. Paul is talking about the hardships that he has experienced because of his ministry. And he goes down a long list. And then he gets to verse 10. In describing himself, this is what he says. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Paul says, will there be sorrow? Sure. Sure there will. But Christians can have joy even in the midst of it if we practice that thankful life. Make a choice to rejoice. Number two, pray every day. Pray every day. Verse 17, another very short verse. Pray, Paul says, continually. We should pray every day. And our prayers should be salted and seasoned and sprinkled with gratitude. As Paul said in Philippians 4, we pray with thanksgiving. You don't have to turn there, but listen to Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Every day we wake up and God has a new load of benefits and blessings for us for that day. Don't you think we ought to take some time every day to say, thank you, Lord, for this load of benefits? Jesus taught us to pray every day, didn't He? Give us this day our daily bread. There's always something to be thankful for. A little boy found out that his eyesight was bad and he was going to have to get glasses. That's not something most kids are thankful for. But he wore those glasses for a while and he prayed and he said, Lord, I am thankful for my glasses. They keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me. There's always something to be thankful for. I was reading about a circuit riding preacher back in the day, and he would come to this particular congregation every Sunday before Thanksgiving. He would always preach the same sermon, and it would be on this text, on this text that we're looking at today. And so Thanksgiving time was rolling around. The congregation knew he was coming. They knew he was going to preach about being thankful and everything. And they said, we're going to put this guy to the test. We know he can preach it. We're going to see if he can practice it. Now, how they paid the preacher was at the conclusion of the worship service, the preacher would take off his hat. He would pass it around the auditorium and people would drop money in it. And whatever they dropped in was his payment for preaching that day. And they said, you know what? We're not going to put a red cent in there and see what he does. And so they finished the service. And at the end, before they led the closing prayer, the preacher took off his hat or got his hat, passed it around, got it back. Wasn't a red cent in there. He looked in it and saw that it was empty. And he said, let's bow and pray. And he prayed and said, Lord, I am so thankful that I got my hat back from this stingy congregation. There is always something to be thankful for. If you can't think of any good things that you have to be thankful for, then be thankful for the bad things you don't have. If you can't afford to pay your bills, then be thankful that you're not one of your creditors. If you cannot have what you want, then be thankful at least that you don't get what you deserve. Because God's mercy spares us from that penalty that we deserve because of our sin. Make a choice to rejoice. Pray every day. And then the final piece of the Thessalonian Thanksgiving would be build an attitude of gratitude. Build an attitude of gratitude. Give thanks every day. Thank God for the simple things, for food and for water and for clothing, for those things that put us in the upper echelon of the rich in this world that we take for granted every single day. Thank God for the spiritual things. Do you know if all you had was Jesus Christ, you would have enough to praise God for eternity? Thank God even for the sorrowful things, for the sadness that comes into your life, because you know that God has promised that he can work all things, even sadness and sorrow, together for good in your life. I love what Matthew Henry wrote in his diary the night that he was robbed. He was walking the streets. He was held at knife point. A robber took everything that he had. And that night he wrote in his diary and he said, I am thankful that while that robber took my money, he did not take my life. I'm thankful that while he took my all wasn't much. And I'm thankful most of all that it is I who was robbed, not I who robbed. You see, there's always something to be thankful for. And you say, well, what if I don't feel thankful? What if I don't feel like thanking God? I've got good news for you. You don't have to thank him by feeling. You can thank him by faith. The Bible doesn't say feel thankful. It says be thankful. Give thanks. And what I found about so much in my Christian life is if I will just do it by faith, my feelings will catch up to me later. And if I will just do my thanksgiving, then I'll look up somehow and I'll be feeling thanksgiving. I was reading about a missionary who was working up in British Columbia and with this kind of small village of people, and he was learning their language. As he learned more and more about the language, he began to realize they don't have a word for thanks. It just doesn't exist in their language. And he asked one of the elders in the tribe about this. Why don't y'all have a word that means thanks? And the elder of the tribe said, well, we don't say thanks. We do thanks. If someone does me a favor, then I don't say thank you. I do them a favor back. If someone extends me a kindness, I don't say thank you. I give them a kindness back. We don't have to say thanks because we do it. Well, let's allow that kind of spirit to just permeate us. Yes, we'll say thanks with our mouths. We'll use the words, but also to God and to others, we will show them our thanksgiving by the love we offer and by the service we render. So that's how to have a Thessalonian Thanksgiving. And if you have one, it's going to be the best Thanksgiving week of your life. Make a choice to rejoice. Pray every day. Build an attitude of gratitude. You know, in our country at least, Thanksgiving is not just about gratitude. It's also about pardon. I'm sure you know about that ceremony where the President of the United States on the White House lawn has this ceremony where a turkey is pardoned. And this turkey will not be eaten this Thursday or any Thursday for lunch. But that turkey receives an official pardon and he or she will be able to go to this beautiful farm in Virginia and live out the rest of his or her life. Those of us who are not Christians need to be pardoned. If you're not a baptized believer, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're that turkey who needs to be pardoned. You see, Paul talks about our predicament in Romans, and he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then just a little while later, he says, the wages or the payment for sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God. Do you see the predicament that puts us in? We all sin, and the payment that we deserve and will receive for our sin is death. Separation from God throughout all of eternity. And God says, I'll pardon you. You haven't earned it. You don't deserve it. But I'll give it. I will pardon you from your sins. I will pardon you from this penalty of death that should be coming your way. And the way we receive it, of course, is through faith in Christ. We say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm a sinner, that's for sure, and you're my Savior. I'll make you my Lord. I won't expect you to be my Savior without being my Master. I want you as both. I'll name you as my Savior. I'll turn from my sins. I'll live for you and your Father the rest of my life. I will take my faith public. I'll show folks. I won't be ashamed of my faith. I'll show them in the waters of baptism. I'll be baptized and my sins can be pardoned. They can be washed away. I'll raise up a new creature with new eyes. Eyes that sees a world that is full of hope and optimism and a bright future. And eyes that see into eternity and know that things will be even better, much better there. If that sounds like something you want to do, then come and let us know right now. Together we stand and as we sing.